Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we're going to be talking about the airstrikes launched by the U.S. against Syria, including excerpts from an address to the nation by President Obama, a discussion of what legal experts say about whether the unilateral military action by the president is legal, and poll results of what the American people think about military attacks on ISIL terrorist forces. We'll also have news about actions being taken to address climate change after the global climate marches held around the world, including actions by San Diego's City Council, plus a surprise announcement from a major corporation that has agreed to drop its investments in fossil fuels. We'll tell you about efforts by San Diego State students to rock the vote and have details on the upcoming deadline to register to vote in the November election. Our newsmaker interview today is with former Assemblyman and Marine Corps veteran Nathan Fletcher, who will be sharing information about a new foundation that he's set up to help returning combat veterans and how the wars in the Middle East have deeply impacted his family. He'll also tell you about some events coming up on Veterans Day to help our local veterans. Plus, on Destination East County, you'll hear about some fabulous festivals coming up this weekend and next across our inland region. From one of San Diego's biggest free music street fairs to Julian Apple Days and a pumpkin festival, the Eagles Live in Concert, the East County Vintners Harvest Festival, Viejas Days Parade, and the Jacumba Hot Springs Centennial Celebration, to name just a few of the big events coming up. We'll have all these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. U.S. military and partner nation forces have begun striking ISIL targets in Syria using a mix of fighters, bombers, and Tomahawk missiles, Rear Admiral John Kirby, the Pentagon press secretary, confirmed Monday night. The U.S. has previously led over 150 airstrikes in Iraq before joining with allies to expand the assault on ISIL or Islamic State forces in Syria. Residents of Raqqa, the Islamic State's self-proclaimed capital, have reported attacks on the city on social media sites. An estimated two-thirds of ISIL forces are located in Syria. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has said that the plan includes targeted actions against ISIL safe havens in Syria, including its command and control logistics capabilities and infrastructure. ISIL terrorist forces have forged a destructive path, seizing large portions of Iraq and Syria. Its fighters have slaughtered thousands of innocent civilians and forced millions of people in Iraq and Syria to flee their homelands, creating a humanitarian crisis. The victims face torture and death if they refuse to convert to Islam. ISIL is also selling women and young girls into slavery and reportedly forcing many into marriage with ISIL fighters. The group recently beheaded captured American journalists and has called on ISIL supporters to wage retaliatory attacks on Americans inside the United States. Last week, Congress voted to authorize U.S. arming forces opposing ISIS. Local Congressional Representatives Susan Davis, Daryl Issa, Scott Peters, and Juan Vargas voted in favor in a bipartisan move. Congressman Duncan Hunter, however, voted against, stating he believed the measure did not go far enough. The airstrikes in Syria have drawn praise from some but concern from others. Peace activists have announced they plan to stage a protest in front of the White House on Tuesday, led by anti-war activist Medea Benjamin, who says she believes the U.S. should avoid the trap of being drawn into a war in Syria. The Washington Post reports that top defense officials have confirmed that all foreign partners participating in the airstrikes against Syria are Arab nations, a condition that President Obama set for the U.S. to extend the airstrikes into Syria. The Arab allies named are Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Bahrain. On September 20th, in an address to the nation, the president outlined his rationale for U.S. involvement, made clear that he will not send ground troops, and that the stakes extend far beyond the Middle East. And here is what the president had to say.
Over the past week, the United States has continued to lead our friends and allies in the strategy to degrade and ultimately destroy the terrorist group known as ISIL. As I've said before, our intelligence community has not yet detected specific plots from these terrorists against America. Right now they pose a threat to the people of Iraq, Syria, and the broader Middle East. But its leaders have threatened America and our allies. And if left unchecked, they could pose a growing threat to the United States. So last month I gave the order for our military to begin taking targeted action against ISIL. Since then, American pilots have flown more than 170 airstrikes against these terrorists in Iraq, and France has now joined us in these airstrikes. Going forward, we won't hesitate to take action against these terrorists in Iraq or in Syria. But this is not America's fight alone. I won't commit our troops to fighting another ground war in Iraq or in Syria. It's more effective to use our capabilities to help partners on the ground secure their own country's futures. We will use our air power. We will train and equip our partners. We will advise and we will assist, and we'll lead a broad coalition of nations who have a stake in this fight. This isn't America versus ISIL. This is the people of that region versus ISIL. It's the world versus ISIL.
Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A new poll by CBS News and the New York Times has found that Americans overwhelmingly support U.S. airstrikes in both Iraq and Syria. The poll found 71% support airstrikes by the U.S. against ISIS militants in Iraq, and 69% support them in Syria. That includes more than two-thirds of people in the Democratic Party and 83% to 84% of Republicans surveyed, as well as two-thirds of independent voters. Americans surveyed also strongly support sending military advisors to Iraq, though support is less strong for training and providing military equipment to Syrian rebels, with just 48% in support, including a majority of Democrats and Republicans, but only 41% of independents. One area where clear partisan differences emerged, however, was in the question of whether the U.S. should send ground troops into Iraq or Syria. The vast majority of Americans, 61%, opposed use of ground troops. But nearly two-thirds of Republicans, 62%, say they support the U.S. sending ground troops. By contrast, only 29% of Democrats would risk American troops on the ground in Iraq or Syria, along with 36% of independent voters. For East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
Is President Obama's decision to unilaterally bomb ISIL terrorists in Syria and Iraq legal? The U.S. Constitution states that Congress has the power to declare war, and yet Congress has not provided such declaration to any president for any war since World War II back in the 1940s. That puts presidents in the hot seat when confronting threats, including those from terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and now ISIL, or the Islamic State. President Obama has authorized airstrikes against ISIL in Iraq and Syria. That action has drawn criticism from some legal scholars, though others contend the president's unilateral actions are legal. So what are the arguments on both sides? Perhaps the strongest argument in favor has been put forth by Michael Ramsey at the University of San Diego School of Law. Ramsey contends that the president does not need congressional approval to launch military strikes in self-defense against an enemy such as ISIL that has effectively issued a declaration of war against the United States and threatened military hostilities. ISIL has also executed American hostages. But critics contend that the Founding Fathers only meant the clause to apply to an official nation-state, not a terrorist group spread across nebulous international borders. Congress made efforts to rein in presidential powers after Presidents Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon committed the U.S. to a decade of full-scale war in Vietnam without congressional approval. Back in 1973, Congress passed the War Powers Resolution. It required the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing troops and to withdraw them after 60 days if Congress did not grant an extension. The War Powers Resolution was intended to make it harder for a president to wage war. But after the 9/11 terrorist attacks on U.S. soil killed thousands of Americans, Congress passed the Use of Military Force Against Terrorists resolution in 2001. John Yoo, who served as Deputy Assistant Attorney General under George W. Bush, defends the actions of both Presidents Bush and Obama. He has contended that the Constitution does not restrict a president's ability to engage troops in fighting, only to officially declare war. Now, if that logic seems a little convoluted, Yoo further argues that Obama already has congressional authorization under the 2001 authorization for use of military force. But Ilya Somin, a law professor at George Mason University, points out that the 2001 Act only authorized force against terrorists who plotted, supported, or carried out the 9/11 attacks. ISIL was not in existence back then. Presidents have tried to claim emergency powers in the past, and the Supreme Court has struck them down. Among presidential acts found unconstitutional by the High Court were Franklin Roosevelt's internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, and Harry Truman's seizure of steel mills during the Korean War, and Abraham Lincoln's suspension of the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. The Constitution provides that the writ, which assures that Americans have a right to challenge detention in court, cannot be suspended except when, in cases of rebellion or invasion, public safety requires it. The Chief Justice ruled that not even civil war was sufficient cause to waive that constitutional right. And thus it remains in doubt whether or not the High Court would find that unilateral military intervention by a president without consent of Congress would pass constitutional muster. And yet, even some critics of the president's executive actions have offered grudging approval of the need to wage war against ISIL. Soman concludes, "In this case, I think President Obama is right to target ISIS, but his actions are a dangerous precedent for the future," the constitutional scholar adds. He concludes that in general, quote, "it is best to have a broad consensus before embarking on war. The constitutional requirement of congressional authorization helps ensure that." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Ed Barena with today's Green Scene Report. 2 days after a global climate march drew 500,000 people worldwide calling for action to stop climate change, San Diego's City Council voted 5-3 in favor of a resolution asking Mayor Kevin Falconer to issue a climate change plan. The vote split the council down party lines, with all Democrats voting in favor and Republicans voting against. The resolution, introduced by Councilman Todd Gloria, seeks to have San Diego produce 100% of its energy from clean, local sources by 2035. Gloria's plan also would improve transit, bicycle and pedestrian paths, expand parks and tree planting, increase requirements on property for energy efficiency in buildings, and take steps to address problems caused by the effects of climate change, including drought, wildfires, and rising sea levels. While no opposition to the plan overall has been registered, some real estate leaders have voiced concerns over potentially costly upgrades for energy efficiency that could make it harder for owners to sell their homes, City Times reports. The mayor's office has issued a statement indicating a draft plan could be ready for a public hearing to be held next spring, with release of a draft for council review in the next few weeks. According to the mayor's statement, quote, "since Mayor Falconer took office this spring, his administration has been working to bring forward for public review a climate action plan that will be broadly supported by the environmental community, business community, city council, and the public. But some have raised concerns that the Republican mayor's plan may not go far enough to curb greenhouse gas emissions." Councilman Gloria called for bold action and said any plan brought to council for a vote must be tangible, measurable, and enforceable.
This is Miriam Raftery with a financial report from East County Magazine. On the heels of the world's largest march to halt climate change, support has come from an unlikely source. Billionaire John D. Rockefeller made his fortune in oil, black gold. His Standard Oil Company was so big that the Supreme Court ultimately ordered it broken up into several smaller companies, including such Goliaths as Chevron, Exxon, and Mobil. But now, Rockefeller's heirs have announced that they will divest from the oil business and instead invest in clean energy alternatives. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund, a charitable trust, will be selling off its investments in dirty tar sands, coal producers, and other oil-related businesses. But perhaps this change is not so surprising after all. When Rockefeller made his fortune over a century ago, fossil fuels were replacing what had then long been a staple fuel for our nation, whale oil. Just as John D. Rockefeller looked to the future, so now his descendants are seeking to shift their family fortune into the fuels of tomorrow. The New York Times reports that in all, investors in multiple investment and philanthropic groups have pledged to divest over $50 billion from fossil fuels. Over 97% of the world's scientists agree that climate change is real and that it's man-made. But when the people who made money off fossil fuels that contribute to global warming agree that it's time to pull out of dirty energy sources, perhaps a turning point has truly been reached. When it comes to going green, all that green cash shifting into renewable portfolios looks destined to become a powerful driving force to fuel development of cleaner energy sources.
San Diego State University's Rock the Vote campaign officially launched this week and will continue through Election Day on November 4th. To kick off the campaign on September 23rd, Associated students hosted a barbecue on campus with live music, free food, and voter registration tables. Students can also register to vote online at sdsu.edu/rockavote. The last day for you to register is October 20th. To register to vote in California, you must be a United States citizen, a resident of California, 18 years of age or older on Election Day, and not in prison or in county jail. Jacqueline Karslowski, Vice President of External Relations for the Associated Students at SDSU, says the Rock the Vote campaign is important because students have a powerful voice. We have the ability to create positive change in our city and state if we play an active role in this election. She states, adding, "The purpose of this campaign is to create more awareness about our upcoming state elections and let students know that we, as students, can make a difference." On November 4th, there will be a poll site in the Student Union for students and staff, faculty, and community members to cast their votes. The campus polling site will be the largest in San Diego County. Karslowski says students should exercise their right to vote and help shape California's future. Plus, she adds, students need to hold our legislatures accountable and make higher education a priority.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon.
My very special guest today is Nathan Fletcher, our former San Diego Assemblyman and a military veteran. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, our topic today is a special foundation that Nathan has started called Three Wise Men Foundation, and its specific purpose is to help returning combat veterans. And this has a very special meaning for Nathan, and I'd like you to tell our listeners about why you started the foundation, what inspired it.
You know, when I was a boy growing up, it was me and my little brother, and our closest friends were our cousins, our three cousins, Jeremy Wise, Ben Wise, and Bo Wise, three brothers, and the last name was Wise. We always called them the Three Wise Men. and we did everything that kids did together. I mean, Jeremy and I were the same age, and Ben and my younger brother were about the same age, and then Baby Bo, the third wise man, he was the little one. And we grew up, and we were friends, and we were really close, and we all kind of went through life together. You know, yeah. We finished grade school together. We finished high school together. We got married around the same time. We had families around the same time. We all joined the military.
Very patriotic family. All of you served overseas. All in combat duty.
All in combat duty. I went first in the Marines. Jeremy became a Navy SEAL. Ben joined the Army. He was a Green Beret. My little brother flies fighter pilots in the Navy. And Bo joined the Marines. So he finished strong with the Marine Corps. And I was talking to my brother this morning, actually, and we were adding up days. And collectively, between the five of us, we think we did about 2,500 days in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Wow, that's an amazing
just our family. But tragically, December 30th of 2009, we lost Jeremy. He was killed by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. Just over 2 years later, January 15th of 2012, we lost Ben, who was also killed in Afghanistan. And so the Three Wise Men Foundation really is recognizing the sacrifice that so many American families have made and honoring the memory of Jeremy and Ben, but really focusing on Bo. Because Bo's the one who survived, and he made it back.
And yeah, is he still overseas?
No. He's in the Marine Corps. He is permanently non-deployable. He's kind of, if you've ever seen Saving Private Ryan,
I wondered about that. If you've had brothers in the same family already killed, don't they have a limit on...
They won't let you deploy. So he can still serve, but he can never leave the States. But, you know, Bo struggles. He struggles with the surviving combat, with the legacy of combat, with the impact of combat. And much the same way that, tens of thousands of veterans struggle every day, and we see veterans unemployment rates that are high. We see veteran suicide rate. Between 22 and 50 veterans a day commit suicide in America.
Staggering, absolutely.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
It is. Do you think the long deployments we've seen in these wars may have something to do with that? I guess in prior wars, people would go over and serve a tour of duty and be back. And some of these guys are on 4, 5, 6 tours of duty now because the wars have gone on for a decade.
Well, and you know, a lot of folks don't realize that Iraq and Afghanistan are both the longest wars, 1 and 2. The longest wars in the history of our country.
Yeah,
we've never had conflicts that went longer, and I think it's a combination of things. I think it's the longest wars. I think it's repeated deployments. Mm-hmm. What we also see is we see, although we have fewer troops serving than we had in previous wars, the same ones keep going repeatedly over and over and over again. And I think because in previous generations, about 10% of the American public had served, mm-hmm. it's now about 1%. And so I think that there's a little bit less understanding in the military, a little bit less acceptance. Not that people don't want to help, but we don't see the help and assistance
that
we should.
You have that close tie as if it's somebody in your own family.
In your own family, right.
Like you. Yeah, we also, with long deployments like that, I think we're more apt to see problems like PTSD, mm-hmm. some of that. And the other thing is that thanks to the advances in medical science, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's wonderful that many people are now surviving injuries that would have killed soldiers a generation ago. And yet, that also means more of them are coming back with brain injuries, with
I think this is a huge point, and this is a hugely important but often underreported fact. Mm-hmm. The reality is, statistically, you're just as likely to get wounded in Iraq or Afghanistan as you were in any preceding war. Mm-hmm. So the danger level is basically the same. But the probability of you dying is exponentially lower because of just that, advances in body armor, advances in flight surgery. And so you have veterans who right to your point, which is so right on, they're surviving things that people have never survived before.
And, I mean, in your experience, to what degree are they getting or not getting the help that they need when they come back, whether they're injured, whether it's an issue of PTSD, you know, depression, or simply needing a job, needing some training, needing some help to readjust to civilian life?
I mean, they're clearly not getting it. And if they were getting the help and treatment they needed, we wouldn't have between 22 and 50 committing suicide. We wouldn't have an unemployment rate above veterans that is higher than that of the civilian population.
Right.
We wouldn't have a VA scandal where we just saw veterans who were on waiting lists for years. And all these veterans are doing, all they're asking for is the care and treatment for their injuries and their effects sustained while in combat. And if we have the money to go to war, and we have the money to take care of them when they come back. And if we have the moral authority to send young men and women to war, we have the moral obligation to care for them when they come back. And so it is frustrating to see, you know, a lot of things. And I know that people say, well, we're trying hard. It's getting better. Well, that's not good enough. You know, that's not good enough. Yeah. 10 years ago, you made a conscious decision to go to war. And simultaneous with that decision, you need to make a conscious decision to take care of them. And so what we're trying to do is and we can't, you know, I've often said we can't single-handedly fix the problems of the VA.
Yeah, but what are some of the issues?
But we can help.
Foundation.
Yeah, we can help. So in the last few years, I've talked to a lot of leaders in the veteran community, and I've said, hey, where are the gaps? What could be done? You know, how can we have a positive impact and do good? And a number of things came. They said, one, they said, you can help us raise awareness of the problem. They said, mm-hmm. a lot of people aren't aware of the problem that veterans are facing when they come back. And they said, raising the consciousness and the awareness is good. And so we're doing that. The second thing is veterans are hard to reach. And so when they leave active duty military, you know, there's not a list. They don't check in. They don't do these types of things. And so that was why by partnering with the CrossFit community and with the workout community, we think that we have an avenue to reach these veterans directly with a message that says, we love you. We care about you. You fought for our country. Now we need you to fight to survive the peace. You fought to survive combat. Now we need you to fight to survive the peace. And it's okay to ask for help.
Very good. So what are some of the things specifically that your foundation is doing to help the veterans?
So our initial focus surrounds Veterans Day. So what we're aiming to do is create a national movement. We have what's called the Three Wise Men Tribute. And it's a workout event where we reach out to veterans and the CrossFit community to come together on Veterans Day and host a Three Wise Men Tribute. It's a specific workout to honor Jeremy, Ben, and focus on Bo. Mm-hmm. And the proceeds of that effort will go directly to organizations that are providing support for veterans.
Very good.
So we're highlighting the Navy SEAL Foundation, the Green Beret Association, Semper Fi Fund, and locally here, Courage to Call 211. And so we're doing that, and we're kicking that off. That'll take place on Veterans Day, which is in November. But we're kicking that off on October 18th with a big event on the deck of the USS Midway, the inaugural Three Wise Men tribute, where we'll unveil the workout. We'll have fans cheering. We'll have competitors. We'll have average folks doing the workout. We'll have some professional athletes coming in and doing it.
Very exciting.
Be on October 18th on the Midway.
Now, you say it's a national event. Will there also be any out here in East County or other parts of San Diego?
Oh, there'll be all over. And so what we're doing is we're signing up. Any CrossFit affiliate can go to our website at threewisementribute.org and register to host an event for free. There's no cost. We'll provide some supporting materials. And so if you work out at a CrossFit location, if you own a CrossFit location, you know, encourage, you know, your folks to let them know that there's an opportunity to sign up to participate for free. All they have to do is go to Three Wise Men Tribute, register their location, and then we'll send them the materials.
Very good. And then if a member of the public wishes to participate in this, can they sign up on the site as well?
They absolutely can. They go to the same site, threewisementribute.org, and they can join us on the deck of the Midway. They can come participate there. They can either do the workout or spectate, or they can find a local location in their area that's hosting one, and they can participate there as well.
Very good. And how does the fundraising component of that come in? Do people get sponsors? Do the gyms put in the funding to help the veterans or what?
Yeah, so the gyms can kind of organize their own kind of fundraising effort to support a local organization supporting veterans. Or they can join in and register through our site, and then the proceeds of everything we raise will go directly to those organizations. We didn't want to replicate. There's so many organizations that are doing so much good. We wanted to try and provide direct support to them as opposed to trying to just replicate what a lot of good groups are already doing.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful cause, Nathan, and I'm sure that veterans and their families across America will have a lot to be grateful for these efforts. Listeners, again, that website, if you want to join in, is
threewisementribute.org.
Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Very good. And we'll also have additional information on our site, eastcountymagazine.org, as we find out about any events that are scheduled coming up in East County this Veterans Day.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson. Bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County features some major events this weekend, including Oktoberfest, a major music festival and street fair, a fiesta, a parade, plus concerts by the Eagles and a Barbra Streisand tribute artist.
Plus, we'll have previews of some delicious events coming up soon, including Julian Apple Days, the East County Vintners Harvest Days, a Pumpkin Festival, and Hakumba Hot Springs Centennial Celebration.
We'll have all of these events and more, so stay tuned for another edition of East County Magazine's Destination East County.
You're invited to come and enjoy authentic German food such as bratwurst, ox on the spit, potato pancakes, sauerkraut, red cabbage, pretzels, and Bavarian pastries, all at the German-American Club's annual Oktoberfest in El Cajon. The festivities take place on two weekends, September 26th through 28th and October 3rd through 5th. You'll also find plenty of German beers as well as entertainment by the Gugebachbahn all the way from Baden-Württemberg, Germany. These talented musicians dress in traditional clothes and play a variety of German music, just as you would hear in the beer gardens in Bavaria. Feel free to dance and sing along with the chicken dance, polkas, and oompa-pa music. You can also watch traditional folk dancing performances, compete in games and contests, check out vendors and craft booths, and treat your kids to their own kids' zone. For more information, visit the GermanClubSanDiego.org website at GermanClubSanDiego.org.
Over 100 different musical acts on 8 stages are slated for this year's Adams Avenue Street Fair on Saturday and Sunday, September 27th and 28th. This event is one of the largest free music street fairs in California, with more than 100 musical acts slated. The Adams Avenue Street Fair helps spotlight local, regional, national, and international talent. The event also includes carnival rides, food and craft vendors, and 4 beer gardens. For a full lineup of concerts, visit AdamsAvenueBusiness.com.
Spring Valley will host its celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month on September 27th with the 9th annual Spring Valley Fiesta. The event is free and features entertainment, refreshments, inflatable children's jumper, video game truck, face painting, and community information booths. The lineup of entertainers includes Danza Azteca, Ballet Folklorica, La Prensa Middle School Jazz Band, DJ Lowrider Cars, and much more. The fiesta will be held at the Spring Valley Library.
From Vegas to Atlantic City, Barbra Streisand impersonator Sharon Owens has performed her tribute to Barbra Streisand. The show takes stage locally on September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Poway Center for the Performing Arts. Also on stage will be the Coastal Cities Jazz Band, a 17-piece big band. Its members include Chris Klitsch, a well-known East County jazz musician and Grossmont College music professor. For tickets and details, visit PowayCenter.com.
September 28th is Viejas Days in Alpine, complete with a parade. The parade rolls out at 2 p.m. down Alpine Boulevard to the Alpine Creek Town Center, complete with floats, bands, and plenty of family fun.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Hakumba Hot Springs will celebrate its centennial on October 4th. The town's festival will feature the Alpine Outlaws, recognized for their authentic Western shootout skits, as well as craft and food vendors, children's bounce houses, live music, raffles, a pumpkin patch, a swap meet, tour of the Chinese castle, and more. The festival is also the ending point for the Passport Through Time Classic Car Caravan, sponsored by the Old Highway 80 Corporation, which will arrive in Hakumba around noon Saturday. The centennial celebration will be held in Hakumba's Community Park on Old Highway 80 in the heart of historic Hakumba Hot Springs. Visit HakumbaHotSpringsCentennial.org and click the Fall Festival tabs for details.
The Eagles, one of the world's best-selling bands of all time, will be performing at the Viejas Arena at San Diego State University on October 4th. The band sold over 150 million records, including such hits as Hotel California, Lion Eyes, Take It to the Limit, Desperado, and Tequila Sunrise. The band disbanded but has reunited for this History of the Eagles tour. The San Diego performance on October 4th will be held at 8 p.m. Tickets are still available at Viejas Arena or through Ticketmaster.
The La Mesa Oktoberfest is one of East County's biggest street festivals, drawing 200,000 people every year. This year's Oktoberfest will be held October 3rd through 5th in the heart of La Mesa's downtown village in La Mesa Boulevard between 4th Avenue and Acadia. The event, sponsored by the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce and the La Mesa Village Merchants Association, began as a small street fair over 35 years ago. Now the three-day bash features over 250 vendors, food including German bratwurst and a beer garden, kids' activities and entertainment ranging from German music to classic rock and roll. For hours and details on each day's activities, visit lamesachamber.net.
As part of Julian's popular Apple Day celebration, a two-day Apple Days festival will be held October 4th and 5th at the Mangini Winery in Julian, featuring apple displays, music and dancing, an antique tractor display, children's games and activities, gold panning demonstrations, a beer and wine garden, food and merchandise vendors, contest, and, of course, apple pie. The event runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. Visit, for more details, julianmerchants.org.
Bates Nut Farm in Valley Center is famed for its giant pumpkins, some weighing 100 pounds or more, though there are plenty of smaller jack-o'-lanterns in the field as well. On October 4th and 5th, Bates Nut Farm hosts a pumpkin festival from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., complete with a straw bale maze, tractor hay rides, pony rides, and an arts and crafts fair featuring works by over 80 artisans ranging from candles and woodworking to jewelry. You'll also find food and live entertainment from 12 to 3 p.m. Admission and parking are free. For directions and details, check batesnutfarm.biz.
You're invited to join the East County Vintners Wine Group for its second annual Mountain Empire Country Harvest Celebration on Saturday, October 11th from 12 noon to sundown. The festivities take place at the Jim and Janet Wright Ranch and Vineyard in scenic Potrero. The festivities also include a smoky barbecue with all the trimmings, wine samplings by local vineyards and wineries, plus a silent auction and door prizes. RSVPs and tickets are required. For tickets and reservations, contact countryharvest2014@gmail.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in our calendar and in our festival and events sections online at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County Show on KNSJ, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County.
See you around East County.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is Janice Russell, host of People Power, profiling people and organizations making a positive difference in our community and our world. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine and People Power. I'm here with Mary McDonald, who is the Director of Development at St. Vincent de Paul and Father Joe's Villages, and Linda Kamara, St. Vincent de Paul Coordinator at Sprites of East County. Linda, could you give us a description of what Sprites stands for?
Certainly. Sprites is an acronym which stands for Spiritual, Philanthropical, Recreational, Instructional, Training, Education, and Social. We are a group of 250 or 120 mother-daughter teams here in East County.
All right. And can you give us some more information about the mother-daughter team?
Yes. In Sprites, our daughters range in age from grade 7 to grade 12. And the idea behind Sprites for us mothers is twofold. Number one, we want to spend time with our daughters, and we want to help them grow and to be strong, confident, compassionate women. Secondarily, we want to make sure they are grown into supporting their community and that they are socially responsible. So we feel the best way to accomplish both goals is to work beside them in our volunteer efforts and supporting many philanthropies such as St. Vincent de Paul.
All right. And how many hours does Sprites contribute to local charities each year?
Last year, our girls contributed over 5,000 hours. Of course, that doesn't count the mothers, so just the girls themselves donated 5,000 hours last year.
And what do the mothers and daughters do? What do they do during their volunteer time?
Well, we have many philanthropies that we support, a very wide range. Regarding St. Vincent de Paul, which is one of our longest and personally my favorite, we serve meals in their kitchen, we clean the dining halls, and we do whatever is needed in the St. Vincent de Paul family or singles kitchen.
How can mothers and daughters get involved?
The best way to get involved is to check our website, which is spritesofeastcounty.org, And we'd love to have new members, again, girls grades age 7 through 12, who reside in the Grossmont Union High School District. So please check out our website. We would welcome new mothers and daughters.
Okay. And Mary, can you give us some more information about Good Neighbor Month?
Absolutely. Thanks. I want to thank you and Linda. I just want to publicly say it is great to be here, and thank you all for all that you do for us. We at St. Vincent de Paul Village every year have thousands of hours of volunteers who come to us and help us serve up to 3,000 meals a day. And without you all, we couldn't do what we do. We just couldn't do it alone. So what our organization decided to do is to take September and say, in September, we want to make sure San Diegans are thinking about the up to 9,000 homeless people in this community each and every day. And just be thinking about the homeless issues and about organizations like Sprites who help us to do what we do. So we've had a number of events, including a community dialogue about homelessness in a border community. And we looked at issues of homelessness in San Diego and in Tijuana. We had it early in the month, and we had about 200 people join us at our partner organization, the University of San Diego Transborder Institute. We've had some outreach in terms of donations to our retail stores, because it's our retail work that also drives the capacity to raise funds that help us purchase those meals and make sure that the 15,000 plus people we serve every year are being served in a maximum way. So each day in Good Neighbor Month, we've asked different ways for the community to just remember that when you drive down the street, the person you see that you might instantly go, oh, there's a homeless person, and you might say to yourself, oh, I wish they would go somewhere else. Slow down. And remember that that person standing there may be somebody very close to somebody you know. Because the homeless in this community, we have the fourth largest population of homeless in this country. And so that means it's quite likely that all of us know someone who either is in that situation or might be.
And how many years has Good Neighbor Month been going on?
Well, we could count it in days and hours if we might. This is the first Good Neighbor Month, and it's the only one in the country. We really hope that every year Good Neighbor Month will build. We're asking the community to go online to goodneighbormonthsd.org and make a pledge. Make a pledge to say today to someone you're talking to, do you know that San Diego County has the fourth largest homeless population in the country? Say, do you know that we have so many veterans that come home who are heroes in the military and homeless when they get back? So really encourage people to go on and make a pledge. We're really pushing to have more pledges.
Oh, good. And can you give us some more information about St. Vincent de Paul Village?
Absolutely. As I said, we serve over 15,000 people every year. We have a variety of services, residential, we have therapeutic child care, we have support of job training and placement. Remember that our focus is always about having a home and a job. You know, the home that the people that stay with us live in with us is not the greatest home they're ever going to have. They're moving toward permanence and toward independence, and that's what we do. We have a large percentage of the folks, when they leave us, they go to permanent, non-subsidized housing in San Diego. And that's difficult, because in San Diego, the cost of housing, as some of us know, is very high. And as Linda said, the meal, we serve 3,000 meals a day. And so we're running two kitchens. We have a public kitchen, a public meal line that serves folks as you, if you stand in line, you get fed at lunch. And that can be anywhere from the high hundreds to 1,200 a day. And then we have the kitchen where you were talking about, where we have residential folks who come in for three meals a day. So we're serving a lot of meals, but it's more than just what some people might call three hots and a cot. Because when you come to us, therapeutic child care and a variety of services that help people move toward independence and be empowered to change the course of their lives.
Oh, okay, very nice. And can you give us some more statistics?
Well, you know, we've been in the business for more than 60 years, and what I encourage people to think about is that, as I said, on any given day, up to 9,000 people may be homeless, and of those, we have hundreds who come and stay with us, children and adults and families and single folks. So we are always focusing on being what the client needs in the course of those 60 years. And so when you think about over 15,000 people getting services, and those are individuals, not one person getting served 100 times, that's a lot of folks.
Are there any success stories that you're willing to share with us, Mary?
Ooh, sure. Absolutely. We've got great success stories. We have someone that I've been talking to recently that as a child, came to our village with his mom, who had really immobilizing issues around drugs, and was living with him in the street. And he now is a very successful businessman, and talks about remembering very clearly how they would go to the village. He remembers it being warm. He remembers there being food that tasted good. He remembers people being nice. And he talks about how even though his mom wasn't able to help him, that he knew he could always go to Father Joe's, to St. Vincent de Paul Village, and that he would be safe. You know, and we operate on that notion of the hierarchy of needs, and the first thing you gotta do is make sure people are safe. And so we really work very hard, and he was telling us, his name is Richard, and Richard was telling us that in fact, he remembers as a small child feeling that safety surrounding him when he walked into the village.
Very nice. What about you, Linda? Are there a couple of success stories that you're willing to share about Sprites?
Sure. Regarding St. Vincent de Paul, Mary and I were sharing outside that the first time that girls volunteer in the kitchen, when they get done, very first thing they say is, well, that was fun. They didn't realize they'd have so much fun and dishing up food and talking to the residents. And the second thing they normally say is, gosh, they're just like us. I don't know what the girls expected when they went down there to help, but they realize everybody there is no different from my family. And it's true. You can look in the dining hall, and at any given moment, there's, you know, a mom trying to get her kid to eat more vegetables. There's somebody talking about homework. There really are no different. So that's why Neighbors Helping Neighbors is the perfect slogan, because truly life is just throwing them some type of curveball. And we're fortunate in San Diego that we have the resource of St. Vincent de Paul, and we at Sprites feel very honored that we are allowed to help them complete their mission.
Okay. Mary, would you like to give us more information about Good Neighbor Month?
I really would. Thank you. This week of the 22nd of September, we've got a couple things going on, and the ongoing effort to get people to go to our website and make a pledge to Good Neighbor Month, make a pledge to be a good neighbor, so don't forget to do that. In addition, encouraging people to make donations, whether it's your time, talent, or treasure, if you want to volunteer, if you want to make a cash donation, or if you want to donate household goods, car. Father Joe used to say, give me your car, give me your boat, give me your plane. We'll take all of those, but we'll also take your pots and pans. In addition, on Friday, the 26th of September, we're having an event at the Seaport Village headquarters called Soups On. Soups On is going to be a fantastic event where you come and you will get a bowl of soup, you'll get a piece of bread, and you can keep the bowl. And the purpose of the event is not, I mean, we will probably maybe break even, but the idea is not to raise money, it's to raise awareness. This is not a fundraiser, this is a friendraiser. What we want to do is encourage people to know that when you eat that bowl of soup and have that piece of bread, you know what? There are people in this community who aren't even having a bowl of soup and a piece of bread. So we want people to stand and witness. So it starts at 6 o'clock at Seaport Village headquarters. We're going to have soup, a jazz band, and lots of fun.
Sounds fun. Linda, could you tell us more information about Sprites and how it came into existence?
Yes, well, we started in 1968 here in East County, and again, a group of mothers and daughters who wanted to build a deeper mother-daughter relationship, but also wanted to be committed to bettering their community and a definite idea of social responsibility. So the idea came about, let's do both at the same time. Let's spend time with one another while volunteering to help our community. It's quite wonderful because we have many legacies now. We have mothers and grandmothers who are watching their daughters go through Sprites just as they went through Sprites in the late 60s and early 70s. Just as a reminder, so our big goal is to develop women who are confident and strong and community leaders who are really committed to social responsibility. And we can talk about it as much as we want, but we as Mothers and Sprites feel the best way to do that is by example, which is why we volunteer with them.
Very good. And are there anything else that you would like to share with us, either of you?
Well, I want to call out, thanks, Linda, for using that phrase, neighbors helping neighbors. And that's why we called the September Good Neighbor Month. This comes from a long history. Father Joe, really, Father Joe Carroll, the spirit and the voice for many, many years behind our work. Father Joe came up with that, and it really is about anybody can be in a situation. We are all neighbors of this community. And so in Good Neighbor Month, we're just asking folks, first off, I want to thank Linda Sprites and people like you who see that when you look at people that are coming through the line, these are not them. They are us. And that in Good Neighbor Month, think about those things in your closet or in your house you don't need anymore. Give us a call and we'll come and pick them up for you, and we'll put those into our retail stores and turn them into cash to help us do our business. Remember to say to your neighbors, hey, I'm really glad to live in this neighborhood. Thank you for helping me. Let's see what we can do to help others.
And you, Linda, anything you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, we'd love for any support you can of Sprites. Again, our website is spritesofeastcounty.org. We are fully funded by our member contributions. However, we do have a fundraiser once per year, and net proceeds from that fundraiser go directly to our philanthropies, one of which is St. Vincent de Paul, although we do have others that we support as well. So again, that was spritesofeastcounty.org.
We in our website, I should remember to mention that it's neighbor.org.
Of course.
Neighbors helping neighbors. Yes, neighbor.org.
Yes. And also, one more question for you, Mary. How can more people get involved in St. Vincent de Paul? How can people volunteer their time?
If you go on the website, you certainly can indicate that you want to volunteer. We need volunteers. We need volunteers in our retail stores. We need volunteers serving food, working in our child care, at our special events. The other thing you can do is, if you're a walker or a runner, I sure hope you're a walker, and you want to put on your calendar our Thanksgiving 5K in Balboa Park, and you'll see information about that on the website as well.
Thank you, ladies. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine and People Power. I just spoke with Mary McDonald, the Director of Development at St. Vincent de Paul and Father Joe's Villages, and Linda Kamara, St. Vincent de Paul Coordinator at Sprites of East County. For more information about either of these organizations, you can visit www.spritesofeastcounty.org. And also for St. Vincent de Paul, you can visit neighbor.org. And for Good Neighbor Month, visit goodneighbormonthsd.org. Thank you, Mary and Linda.
Thank you.
Opera in East County? Bravo! These were the sounds of celebration at Salerno Winery in Ramona, which has forged a partnership with lovers of wine, music, and fine art.
Founder Herman Salerno, a former opera singer from Italy, and his wife Rose have teamed up with Jaime Chalejon, a Mexican businessman, to unveil an expansive sculpture garden featuring works by over 20 world-renowned artists, including Jorge and Javier Martín, Tanda Wu, Julian Bravo, and Pedro Cervantes. At the grand opening celebration, guests dined on paella and savored wine, truffles, and port. Visitors to the winery can now stroll along pathways with streams of fountain and life-size chessboard while admiring the artwork. Wine tasting is offered at an outdoor tasting room and deck overhanging vineyards and the sculpture garden, and soon an expansive new tasting room will be built. Rumor has it that an indoor stage for opera performances on the property is also in the works. As for the wine, Salerno Winery uses traditional handcrafted Italian methods that have won over 65 awards, including international honors. The winery is open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, when guests can enjoy not only wine and pizza cooked up in an outdoor oven, but also opera performed by Salerno and well-known Mexican operatic stars. And that's music to the ears of opera lovers and fine art aficionados in East County and across San Diego.
Hey, Vio! Son qua! Hey, Vio! Son qua! Figaro qua! Figaro là! Figaro qua! Figaro là! Figaro su! Figaro giù! Figaro su! Figaro giù! Quanto prontissimo son come il fulmine, son il fantasma della città! Della città! Della città! Della città! Della città!
Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine, here to talk about National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Saturday, September 27th is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. If you are looking to get rid of unwanted and expired prescription drugs, the San Diego County Sheriff's Department will collect and dispose of these medicines during the Drug Enforcement Agency's 9th National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. On Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., sheriff's deputies will be on hand to collect medications that you can drop off at the following locations in East County. Sheriff's substations in Alpine and Lemon Grove, the McGrath Family YMCA in Rancho San Diego, Albertson's parking lot in Ramona, and Walgreens drugstore parking lots in Lakeside and Santee.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.